Chapter 3. In the Forest of Arden. The two young maids and the clown were not the only people forced to leave the court. Orlando was also getting ready to leave. He had already decided to leave, but he had to leave a little sooner than he had planned. Adam had overheard something which made up Orlando's mind to leave immediately. Like most people, Oliver had expected Orlando to lose the wrestling contest. When his brother won, Oliver was incredibly angry. He swore he would burn his brother's room while he slept. Adam had heard Oliver saying this, and he had hurried to tell Orlando. Adam was fond of Orlando because he had always been kind to him. Adam was a loyal servant, and he did not want to see any harm come to his old master's one good son. "Your brother plans to set fire to your room this very night. I have gathered all the money I own. Take it and let me be your servant. We can use this money to pay our way. Let us escape together," said Adam. "It will be an honor to serve you."
"Good old man," said Orlando, "but we won't spend your money. I'll find a way of making money to keep us. Keep what you have."
Together, the old servant and his master set out for the Forest of Arden. They did not know the correct path, and there were no signs. They finally found themselves in the forest. They had been walking for a long time, and the two men were hungry and thirsty. They kept walking, searching for some sign of human life and the possibility of food and shelter. It was much harder for Adam than Orlando. He was an old man in his 70s, and he was not used to walking long distances. At last, Adam could go no further. He was overcome with tiredness.
"Oh, my dear master, I will die for a lack of food. I can go no further. Go on without me. Farewell."
He then laid himself down, ready to die in that place. Orlando felt terrible to see Adam in this weak state. He picked up his old servant and carried him under the shelter of some tall trees.
"Rest here, old Adam, and do not talk of dying. You will live many a year yet," said the young master.
"I'll find some food and water and bring them back, I promise." Orlando set off to search for food. Although he was tired, he was determined to keep his promise to his old servant. He found a group of men seated on the grass under the shade of some oak trees. They were about to eat dinner. In fact, this group was the old Duke and his followers, but Orlando did not know this. Made desperate by hunger, Orlando drew his sword. He intended to scare the men and take their meat by force. He shouted, "Eat no more! I must have your food!" The old Duke looked at this angry young man. He did not draw his own sword, nor did any of his companions.
"Has distress made you so bold, young man?" he asked. "Or are you simply rude and lacking good manners?"
Orlando was surprised at this question and said that he was dying of hunger. "Well then, sit down and eat. Welcome to our table," said the old Duke. Orlando was surprised to hear this man speak so gently. He put away his sword and felt ashamed of the rude manner in which he had demanded their food.
"Pardon me, I ask you," Orlando said. "I thought that everything would be savage in the forest, but I was wrong. Your kindness is humbling.
We've all seen better days and sat at good men's feasts. We have great pity for anyone who is going through hard times," said the kind Duke. "We know what it is like."
"I left my old servant, who was too tired and hungry to walk," said Orlando. "I promised I would find something for him to eat and drink. I must not eat anything until he has eaten. I always keep my promises."
"Go, find him," said the old Duke. "We will wait until you return." So Orlando went and came back with Adam in his arms. The old Duke and his men welcomed both men, and they all ate together. The Duke was curious to know more about these two men who were wandering in the forest.
However, he was a considerate man and let them eat and drink first. When Orlando and Adam had enjoyed plenty to eat, the Duke asked Orlando to tell him who he was. When he found out that this young man was the son of his old friend Sir Roland de Boys, he was delighted. He invited Orlando and his old servant to live with him and his companions in the forest. The two men happily accepted and started a new, carefree life in the Forest of Arden. The forest was a place of great activity. A few days before Orlando and Adam bumped into the old Duke, Celia, Rosalind, and Touchstone had arrived in the forest. They also had struggled to find food and shelter in the giant forest. They were so tired and hungry that Rosalind was near tears. However, she could not let herself cry while she was dressed as a man. She knew that all the time she was disguised as Eliana's brother, Ganymede, she must stay strong and act like a man. She tried to cheer Celia when she said she could go no further. Touchstone encouraged both Celia and Rosalind. While they were all trying to find the energy to continue their journey to find Rosalind's father, they noticed two men, one young and one old. The weary three hid from view and listened to their conversation. It turned out that the two men were shepherds. The young man was named Silvius, and the older was Corin. It became clear that Silvius was in love with a woman named Phoebe, and that he had not yet told the young woman. Poor Silvius was quite upset. Just like many foolish young people who have not experienced much of the world, he did not believe that Corin, an older man, was capable of understanding what it was like to be in love. Soon Silvius left, and Corin was alone. Rosalind felt great sympathy for Silvius, because she too had unspoken feelings for another. Celia, on the other hand, was not at all interested in hearing about love. She wanted food, and love was useless to a hungry woman. "One of you, please ask him if he will give us something to eat in exchange for gold," she said. "I'm faint with hunger." Touchstone called out to Corin, who was a little surprised to find others near him. "I say," said Rosalind, trying her best to sound like a young man, "can you take us someplace where we may rest ourselves and feed?" "I am just a shepherd to another man. I have nothing of my own. Also, my master is not a kindly man. Besides, he is about to lose everything he has. His house, pasture, and sheep are for sale. However, you are welcome to come with me and eat anything you can find," replied Corin. "His house and land are for sale? We can buy everything," said Rosalind. "Yes," said Celia, showing herself. "I like this place and willingly could waste my time in it. We can also pay your wages. We have plenty of money." And with that, Corin took them to buy his master's property. There, they rested and took up a new way of life, pretending to be the shepherd Ganymede and the shepherdess, his sister Eliana. Yet, happy though they were, and although Rosalind had fun pretending to be a man, she could not forget that she was also the Lady Rosalind, who was in love with Orlando, the son of Sir Roland, her father's best friend.